I want us tonight to think of some things and hopefully to encourage you all and myself as well to follow righteousness. To follow, you know, passages that we are told to be holy, passages that we are sanctified, that we are to be separate from this world, all inclusive of this idea of being holy before God and holy and righteous and to live in this world. I just want to encourage us this evening to follow after that path. Follow righteousness. Follow in the paths of God. Follow the words of God, the example of Christ. All of that in our lives as we walk upon this earth. In Hebrews, the 12th chapter, the Hebrew writer talks there of following after righteousness or sanctification or peace. He says, it begins there, verse 14, follow after peace with all men. And with sanctification, or and holiness, as the King James says there, which or without which no man shall see the Lord. This idea here of the following after righteousness, the book of Hebrews, where it's written to encourage Hebrew Christians to be faithful to Christ, as many of the other letters and many of the books as well. But chapter 12, particularly here, provides encouragement to Christians which are under persecution. A persecution that many, as John talks about there, that many had left and followed after Christ no more. This persecution that arose at the end of chapter Acts chapter 7 and the beginning of Acts chapter 8, there after the death of Stephen, it says a great persecution came against the church there. And this letter here, written to these Hebrew Christians, just to encourage them to remain faithful under this persecution. The writer tells us in this chapter here that God chastens us to that which we can be partakers of as holiness, there in verse 10. And without holiness in our life, there, follow after peace, verse 14 again, follow after peace with all men and with sanctification. Without following after peace, without following in righteousness or holiness here, without it, no man shall see the Lord. No man shall see God if they're not following after holiness. So our simple proposition is just as simple as to follow after holiness and point out three areas in our lives to follow holiness. First of all and foremost, to follow after God. God is holy, so we are to be holy. And then to follow after purity. The purity of our lives, the purity of our hearts, we're to follow after and seek after. And then to follow after distinctiveness. These are the three points that we want to look at here in that. And just simply the objective is that each one of us know what these mean. What does it mean to follow after God? What does it mean to follow after purity? What does it mean to follow after distinctiveness? In this lesson here, we'll find these out. We'll go through these and understand and have a better understanding. If we don't have that full, complete understanding of what it means, hopefully by the end of this lesson, we will. And my purpose or aim is just simply is to encourage each one of you, each and myself, to follow holiness, so that one day we may all see God. Keeping in mind there the end of chapter 12 and verse 14 of Hebrews that we read, without following that holiness, we will not see God. So my aim is just to encourage you to follow holiness so that one day you may see God. Our first point there, follow after God. What does that mean? We're told that God is holy, and we are required to be holy. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verses 15 and 16. It says, but like as he who called you is holy, be yourselves also holy in all manner of living. Very important words there to understand and give us this understanding about what it means to follow after God or follow holiness. There. Be yourselves also holy in all manner of living, because it is written, ye shall be holy, for I am holy. That's a requirement given to God's people. That's a requirement in God's Word. A command given to His children in God's Word to be holy in all manner of living. Why is that? We referenced here chapter 10, or verse 10 of Hebrews 12 just a moment ago. But He wants us to be partakers of His holiness. There in verse 10 He says, the full verse there, "For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed good to them. But He for our profit, that we may be partakers of His holiness." He wants us there. He wants us to be partakers of His. He wants us to follow Him. Not only does He require it, but that is a want of His. That is a want of God's for His people to follow after Him, to be partakers of with Him in His holiness. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9 states that He wants us to be people that He can possess, that are His possession, an elect race there in verse 9, an elect race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. He wants that from us. He wants us to turn our lives over to Him. And when we turn our lives over to Him, He owns us regardless, but when we turn our lives over to Him, we ourselves recognize that and acknowledge that God owns us. And He wants that, again, to be His people, us to be His people. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, it says, "All spiritual blessings are in Christ." Verse 4 there of that same chapter, "Even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blemish before Him in love. Be ye therefore holy, for I am holy." Because, that we read here just a moment ago, "Be yourselves holy also in all manner of living, because," there 1 Peter 1 verse 15 and 16, "because ye shall be holy, for I am holy." If you're going to be My people, if you're going to follow after Me, if you're going to submit your lives to Me, be holy, for I am holy, He says. He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings through Christ. Not only is God holy, but part of the Godhead, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, is holy as well. As our High Priest, His holiness has been established there in Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 26. "For such a High Priest became us, holy, guileless, undefiled, separated from sinners, and made higher than the heavens." He is holy. The Son of God is holy. And if we are following after Jesus, following in His footsteps and following His example in this world, we are following holiness in our lives. Jesus followed holiness in all manner of living in His life. And since we are to be imitators of Him, that holiness in all manner of our life should be exhibited and seen as well. He is sinless, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 22, "Who did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth." He was the spotless Lamb, the Lamb without blemish. You and I will never be sinless, but that should not stop us from trying. That should not stop us from trying our very best to achieve that life. We are seeking after God and seeking to be holy, following Him in all things. His sacrifice purifies us unto holiness as well. Titus chapter 2 and in verse 14. "Who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto Himself a people for His own possession, zealous of good works." That's how we become God's people, that we are purified. 1 Peter chapter 2 as well. Chapter 1, verse 22, 23. That seeing you have purified your souls, your hearts, unto your obedience to the truth. That's how we become purified. And His people are purified. Their heart has been purified, has been cleansed from all filth, or the filth of sin. And we become God's possession. His sacrifice enables us to become that, to purify ourselves unto Him. It would stand to reason, since God is holy, and that the Son of God is holy, Jesus is holy, it would stand to reason and logical conclusion to say that God's Word is holy as well. God's Word comes from the Holy Spirit, hence it is holy. It is a holy Word or a holy message. John chapter 16 and verse 13. As the apostles, the disciples there were told that the Holy Spirit should guide them in all truth. John 17 and verse 17, sanctify them in the truth. Thy Word is truth. It can be no other way. If God is holy and this is His revealed Word to us, this is His revealed mind to us, it can be no other way. It can be nothing else but truth. Since God, who cannot lie, what's the opposite of lying? That of truth. So if God cannot lie, then His Word is nothing but truth. And it is nothing but holy. Christ uses it to cleanse us and to make us holy. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, beginning there, says that He might sanctify it, having cleansed it by the washing of water with the Word, that He might present the church to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. We blemish the church when we don't follow after holiness. When we sin, since we as a collective group of people make up the church becomes blemished by our sin. We cannot allow that to happen. When we follow after God and Jesus and God's Word, we can be holy and live holy lives. God has given us every reason to live holy, and He's given us all things that will enable us to live holy. Not only do we need to follow after God, but we need to follow after purity as well. Pure in mind. Jesus said on the Sermon on the Mount there, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." There's the idea there of back in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14. Without what's the one being holy, they will not see God. Jesus says here, if you're pure in heart, the pure in heart are the ones that are going to see God. Holiness of the heart prevents impure thoughts. We just studied there Matthew chapter 15 and verse 19. Out of the heart come forth evil thoughts. Murderers, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, railings. Out of the heart, out of the mind, these evil thoughts come. If we're following after righteousness, at Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, if we're thinking on those things that Paul mentions there, and Peter says the things that we are to add to our faith, those seven things we are to add to our faith, if we're doing that, evil thoughts are not going to come out of our mind. Pure thoughts. Be pure in mind. The pure in mind are the ones that are going to draw nearer to Christ. Nearer to God. The pure hearts. He said, James chapter 4 and verse 8, draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Those pure in heart are the ones that are going to be drawn near to God, and God is going to draw nearer to them. A pure heart we need to have or follow after purity for the purpose of Christ's second coming. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and in verse 13. to the end that He may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all His saints. That He may establish our hearts unblameable in holiness. It is necessary. And for the purpose of Christ's second coming, we need to have a pure heart. But pure in body as well. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1. Having therefore these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Perfecting holiness. Cleanse yourselves of all defilements of the spirit. Cleanse your hearts. Cleanse your minds. Be pure. Your body to be pure to be presented before God. We cannot see God in any other way. Incorruption will not inherit the kingdom of God. Unpure hearts and minds will not see God. He calls us, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 7, to be holy vessels. God called us not for uncleanness, but in sanctification. To be set apart from the world. To be separate from the world. You're a part of this world. That doesn't mean we have to be of the world. We cannot help to be part of this world because we are born into this world. But we do not have to be of the world. We have control of that. We have control of whether we want to be or not want to be a part or of the world. Being born into this world, we have no control over. But being of the world, we do. God called us out of that uncleanness, out of darkness, to be set apart from the world. The members must be servants of holiness. Romans chapter 6 and in verse 19. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of the flesh. For as ye presented your members as servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now present your members as servants to righteousness unto sanctification. Present yourself before God as a servant of God. So a servant of righteousness. Again, set apart from the world. Not to be a part of the world. Set your body, set your mind, your members of your body apart from that world. And be servants of righteousness unto sanctification. Simply put, we should be pure in all things in this life. It's the only way that we can follow holiness is to be pure in all things. 1 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 12, Peter says there, having your behavior seemly among the Gentiles, that wherein they speak against you as evildoers, that they may be by your good works, which they behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Others need to see the purity of life that you have, the purity of mind that you live. They're going to speak evil against you. They're going to say all kinds of evil things against you. But by your good works, let them see. Let them glorify God. Let them see that you glorify God. Let them see that you are a servant of righteousness. That they may glorify God in the day of visitation as well. We should be concerned about holy living. We should be concerned about following holiness because one day the world will be destroyed. Chapter 3 and verse 11 of 2 Peter. Seeing that these things are thus all to be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy living and godliness. What manner of persons ought we to be? Created beings of God. Life given by God. Our life sustained by God. What manner of persons ought we to be toward our God? A person living a life in all manner of living holy and godly. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 15. In all things in this life. But like as he who called you was holy, be ye yourselves also holy in all manner of living. Follow after purity. Be pure in mind. Be pure in body. To be presented before God. Follow after distinctiveness. The world, contrary to its protests, offers no distinctiveness. When it all boils down, the world simply desires you to conform to its lusts. The world desires you to conform yourself to the world and the way the world lives. Wants you to conform to what the world does. And God is not part of that picture. John says to his hearers in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the vainglory of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Why? First Peter chapter 3 and verse 11, we just read a moment ago, verse 10 talks about the things of this world and the elements in the heavens are going to be burned up with a fervent heat. They're temporary possessions. The things of this world are temporary. We hold on to them for a little while and maybe we lose them in this life. We lose the possessions of this world and they're not important. They may seem important to us, but when it all comes down to it, they're not as important as our soul. They're not as important to us as our eternal home in heaven. We are but strangers, we are but pilgrims, we are but sojourners upon this earth. A sojourner, a nomadic person is what we are, nomadic people upon this earth. Nomadic people really had no permanent possessions. They didn't have the possessions of the world. They had the things that they needed. But beyond that, they had no need for. Because they knew they weren't going to be in one place very long. We need to look at this life in that respect. That we're only here for a short time. The possessions of this world, what do we really need them for? Yes, they give us some satisfaction and they give us some gratification while we're here and have them and use them, yes. But is it really more important than eternity? Those who are truly different and unique do not follow the world. That's what we are to be. Different. We're to be a unique people. A peculiar people. Had a conversation with a gentleman several years ago while we were still living in Ohio. We started out talking about something and ended up to part of the conversation. We were talking about what people wear to services many times. And he kind of fired back at me a little bit there. He says, what I'm not wearing is not acceptable? I said, no, it's not. It's not that it's not acceptable. And before I could say anything else, his come back to me was, in that, he said, we're to be different people. He says, I wear a suit and tie and shirt and tie to work every day. And I'm part of the world that way. I'm dressing this way. I am now because I'm different from the world now. Somewhat of the wrong idea of being unique and different from the world. But it just kind of illustrates the mindset of some people here. We're to be different in inwardly. Our mind is to be different. Our thoughts to be different. Our actions are to be different. Dress is there in some part of that? Yes. Absolutely. But we're to be different or unique in all manner of living. As God's people, we must be distinctive. And this was so with the Israelites. In Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 6, it says, "For thou art a holy people unto Jehovah thy God. Jehovah thy God hath chosen thee to be a people for his own possession above all peoples that are upon the face of the earth." While we are not Israelites and the nation of Israel is not God's chosen people today, Christians are. And we, as Christians, are to be above all peoples that are up on the face of the earth. Not to the high and mighty, not to be, to use Paul's words in Romans chapter 12 and verse 3, that we're not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to, not in that respect. But we are to be different from the world in all manner of living. We know how the world thinks. We know how the world acts. We know what the world does. And we are to set ourselves above that. Not above the people, but above the actions of the world. The world's manner of living. That's what we are to set ourselves above. Isaiah chapter 35 and in verse 8. "And a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for the redeemed, the wayfaring men. Ye fools shall not err therein." The way of holiness. The people that God has chosen to be His own possession, that are above all the peoples of the face of the earth. This way that they walk, this highway, the way of holiness, is what we are to walk. That's how we are going to set ourselves. That's apart from the world. That's how we are going to be able to be distinguished from the world. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8, we need to be distinct. We are to talk as distinct from the world. Verse 8, "For you were once in darkness, but are now light in the world. Walk as children of the light." Who is the light? God. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5, 6 and 7, that God is light. And in Him is no darkness. And if we follow after that light, if we are children of His, if we are His people, we are to follow, to walk in that light. Walk as children of light. To come out of the world. Well, that's what His people are to do. His children are to do. To come out of the world. Be distinct. Be unique from those in this world. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 17 and 18. Wherefore, come ye out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be to you as a father, and ye shall be to me as me sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. One of the world can in no way be a son or daughter to God. They are still part of the world. They have not separated themselves from the world. They are part of it and cannot be in God, cannot be in the light. Romans chapter 12 and verses 1 and 2, Paul tells the Romans there, we are not to conform to the world. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service. And be not fashioned according to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Don't be fashioned according to this world. The world wants you to conform yourselves to their thinking, to their practices, to their life. But God says, be ye separate, saith the Lord. Come out from among them, and be ye separate. That's what God wants. And to be His children, to be holy, we have to separate ourselves from that world. To be able to present our bodies a living sacrifice and holy and acceptable to God, we have to come out of that world and follow holiness. We can follow after holiness, and we can be a holy people. The choice is made up in our mind. Is that what we desire to be? Is that the person that we want to be? A holy person? Is the person that we want to be a holy and acceptable to God? We can be. If we follow after God. If we follow after purity. If we follow after distinctiveness, we can be holy. We can be that holy people that God wants us to be and requires us to be. So are you following in His ways? Are you presenting yourself to God today as holy and without blemish? Incorruption cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Only those who follow after holiness. Are you walking that highway of holiness? If you have not yet obeyed the gospel, you are following that broad way which leads to destruction, which leads to death. That's the way the world wants you to go. Or as a Christian who has sinned in the life, that's the way the world wants you to go. That's not where God wants you to go. By living the life outside of the body of Christ and outside obedience to God, you're conforming to what the world wants you to be. And that, my friends, will lead to being cast out into outer darkness, where the weeping and gnashing of teeth are. God has granted an opportunity again to be obedient to Him, to come to Him in obedience. To repent of your sin, to confess Him before men, to put Him on in baptism. Won't you take advantage of that tonight? As an erring Christian as well, an opportunity given to you to come to God, to repent of your sin, to pray to God and ask for His forgiveness. Won't you take advantage of that opportunity? You may not get another. And won't you come to Him tonight in obedience? Put Christ on in baptism while we stand and while we sing.